big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Trade TV on the third last day of the 2020 AFL trade period. I'm Mel Payton, joined today by Matt Turner from The Advertiser over in Adelaide. Crows starting to get active, as a few clubs are today. So we were waiting for the dominoes to start falling, and that is starting to happen with some of the, some of the smaller fish starting to move around, and that might clear the way for some of the bigger deals. So we'll quickly run through everything that's happening and try and update you on what's still to come. Obviously, still plenty of deals up in the air with, as I say, less than 3 days to go until the deadline. So if you've got a question, fire it in. And if you don't have a Herald Sun or Advertiser subscription, grab one of those, get online, get on the blog, and you can see all the moves as they happen. And there's plenty going in there today, Matt. So we'll quickly run through those done deals. The first one was Peter Wright to Essendon, which we had expected that to happen, and it was for a future fourth round pick, so it hasn't really cost the Bombers anything. What is he going to be the answer, the new John Coleman in the goal square for the Bombers, do you think?
Well, there's not a lot of risk, Al. I guess that's the first thing. Thanks for having me, by the way, here. But, I guess with Joe Danaher leaving, there's a spot there for a tall forward, 2 metre Peter. I guess when you're trading for a future fourth rounder, there's not a lot of risk involved. My understanding is he obviously had a contract that Gold Coast wanted to get off their books. And you look at his record, pick 8 in 2014. So obviously, highly regarded. And he had two pretty good years, 27 goals in 2016, 31 in 2017, 203 centimetres. I think he can offer something that can help fill that Danaher void. Whether he can hit the ground running or not, who knows? But they haven't given up a lot to get him. So, I think it's a good one for the Bombers.
Yep. All right. And then the next deal was just a pick swap. Adelaide trading its second and third round picks this year to Melbourne for future second and future fourth round selection. So can you shed a bit of light on what's going on with these? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's probably a two-way street with this one, as trades obviously often are. But Melbourne is looking to get Ben Brown. That hasn't been done so far. So Melbourne will get pick 33 from Adelaide, which can help unlock that deal potentially. From Adelaide's perspective, there's probably two ways you could look at it. The future second-round pick that they're getting from Melbourne might be a blanket for next year and use it in what's looking like a pretty strong draft for South Australian talent. Adelaide's got an NGA prospect called Blaine O'Loughlin, who looks really, really good early days. So that might be used for that. But also Adelaide's got the Haitley deal pending. So, could that pick potentially be in the mix to get Jackson Haitley over from GWS? That's the other option, I guess, as part of that. So, a bit of something for each club in that one.
And the last deal so far that we've had today is Mitch Hannon traded from Melbourne to the Western Bulldogs for a future third-round pick. Hannon was a Footscray VFL player, I think, where Melbourne got him from originally, so now back at the kennel. But, again, they're not giving up too much to the Dogs. And, like a lot of teams, I guess they were looking for avenues to goal towards the end of the season.
Yeah, Tory Dixon is gone. So there's a potential spot there, I guess, for him. That mid-size forward is probably a little bit more toe than Tory, but they haven't given up a lot for him. I think that's a nice deal for them, an extra avenue to go, as you said, and there is a spot there. The Ds, obviously, they're getting Brown in, or looking to get Brown in for a bit more of a more standard forward line with Brown, with Wiedemann. There might be less spots there for at the Ds where they've already got Fritsch and some of these other players, and maybe a hole there at the Dogs. So a good one for the Dogs. I like it for them.
Just quickly, there's a question coming here, Adelaide related. Also, I suppose I was going to ask about Jackson Hatley. Do you think that will happen, or the Crows have the option of just getting him in the preseason draft? Is that right?
They do, yeah. So they've got the first pick in the preseason draft. I think it happens just as almost a bit of a goodwill thing between the clubs. As for what pick gets it done, I thought it might initially be that 33 that they've given up. So that leaves them with 22 and 23, Adelaide. Would one of those picks be in the mix? I wouldn't have thought, given that they have the avenue to get him in the preseason draft. I think Jay Clark and a few of the guys touched on last week, Adelaide, I think, is looking at that Western Bulldogs pick 14. So 22 and 23 for 14 and something else back would make sense as a trade for Adelaide to try and get a third top 15 pick. So that leaves pick 40, I think, is their pick after that. Would the Giants accept that for Hatley, who was a high pick himself? Not sure. And then, as I said before, that future picks, obviously now they're the future second, their own future second. Who knows? But I think Hatley gets done. It's just a matter of when. And the Giants obviously are knee-deep in some other deals that they're trying to get done in terms of Cordwell, Cameron, Bruce. So there's a bit going on. But Hatley, I think that'll get done and not have to go to the draft.
Now, I should have mentioned, people might recognise your voice from listeners to the Phantoms Lair Supercoach podcast, also Matt Turner, a.k.a. the Supercoach Hipster. I imagine you'd have your eyes pretty closely on Jackson Hatley. Does he walk straight into the Crows midfield next year? I think he'd be pretty handy price for us in Supercoach.
Yeah, well, and he scores well in Supercoach, yeah, as you would know. It was a matter of getting him out the park, not necessarily how he scores when he's out there. But, yeah, I think they've clearly targeted him as a South Australian taller, big-bodied type that can freshen it up. That's that age group that they're really looking to get in players from those early 20s. I think he certainly plays and probably when he played for the Giants, he was, you know, playing on a wing sometimes. He wasn't really at the coalface. And I think that's what he's looking for as much as anything, a role inside the Crows midfield. Brad Crouch obviously going out leaves a vacancy there, and Jackson Hatley potentially coming in, who's a different size to Brad, and I think offers something a little bit different. So I think, yeah, he'll certainly be one to watch both from a super coach and non-super coach sense in 2021.
Now, still at the Crows, we've got a question here from John Cox, as a Bulldogs fan, wants to know if they're targeting a key defender. Pardon me, a key defender. So they got Alex Keith from the Crows last year, and he's suggesting could they be going after Daniel Talia this time? So there was a little bit of talk about him early on in the trade period, but that seems to have gone quiet. Anything happening there that you know of?
Not that I'm aware of. Yes, there was certainly some murmurs. I think the murmurs were more around Essendon, given Ben Rutten, obviously ex-Crows champion, is now coaching Essendon, and there was some suggestion that that might happen, but I don't think it'd necessarily happen now. Hardigan's gone, and obviously Adelaide is trying to get games into some of their young key backs, Fisher Mackesy's there. Jordan Butts is played well. I think he played one game this year, but I still think Talia will have a role to play. He's contracted, and I would be surprised if he moved, even though there were some whispers early on in the trade, or before the trade period.
And he mentioned the Giants earlier. Jeff Lee asking, saying the Giants are pretty hard to deal with, although, as you say, they've got a few balls in the air at the moment. Should Geelong just let Jeremy Cameron go through to the draft? Is that a ploy that you think is on the table?
Again, these deals get done more often than not, don't they? I mean, we saw Tom Papley as one that didn't. I remember back in the day, Ryan O'Keefe was a famous one that was trying to get to Victoria, and he ended up never going. He played out the rest of his career with the Swans. But if you look at history of Trade Week, the majority of times that a player wants to go to a certain club, they get done. Geelong has the capacity to get it done in terms of their first round picks, but whether they go over the edge and offer enough would they put three on the table? Sounds like they don't want to. I think it'll get done in some way, shape or form without having to go down that path, a bit like the Hatley one, but it's just a matter of what actually gets it done. I think pick swaps in some way, shape or form and maybe a swapping of later picks or something like that.
Chris Fury, we've actually got a couple of questions asking about Jack Higgins. So the latest on that seems to be that Higgins decided he did want to go to St Kilda for more opportunities, but Richmond not totally happy with what St Kilda's offering, which is, I think, a second round pick. They think he's worth more than that, and he is contracted, so they don't have to let him go. Mm. Do you think that's a fair offer for Jack Higgins?
Yeah, it's a hard one. Probably not. I mean, he really burst onto the scene, didn't he, Higgins? And a real lovable sort of player, and obviously had his real tough season this year with what he was going through medically. I was a little bit surprised that he would necessarily want to go. Obviously, the Saints are becoming a real destination club at the moment in terms of people wanting to be there. But you would think Richmond would be a destination club as well. They're going to be in contention for a while, I would have thought. So it surprised me that he wants to leave in the first place. I'm not sure that that's a fair deal necessarily, but look, again, back to my previous point, it's one of those ones that quite often those deals do get done, but it obviously needs to be fair and reasonable for both parties.
Yeah, Heath Kenny asking here, this one we should be able to answer pretty quickly. Any word when Stephen Martin will become a Dog and how much would he cost? Well, I suppose I'm not sure on the first part, but the second part is he's not going to cost much because I think they could have got him for nothing last week as a free agent and they just were doing their due diligence. So now he's decided he wants to go there and it's just a matter of, you know, is it a late pick swap kind of thing or they could just hang on and get him in the sort of after the trade period's over, they can still sign up uncontracted players, can't they?
To listed free agent, essentially, yeah. So that and again, you talk about good fits for teams. I reckon that's a perfect fit for the Dogs. They've sort of dilly-dallied in the ruck department for a while now, in my opinion, which we've brought up many times on the Phantoms Lair Supercoach podcast, about how it sometimes has been a bit of a roll of the dice and a chook lotto as to who's going to ruck until the last couple of years. And now English is playing and he's obviously had some great moments this year, but does look like he needs some support. Who better than someone like Steph Martin, clearly a big body veteran ruckman who I think can really add something and provide some support. Not unlike, even he's not the same type of player necessarily as Ryder, but not unlike the support that Ryder provided my boy Rowan Marshall this year. So I think that's a good one for the Dogs.
Yeah, speaking of the Dogs, ruck options, another favourite of the Lair. Is it Slam Dunkley, Josh, who had to play a bit in the ruck this year at the Dogs, and he wants to go and be the number one midfielder at Essendon. So I don't have any more insight into how close that deal is to getting done. But if it does, I think I'll be picking him in Supercoach. Let's just say that.
Again, he's another one that, there's been, obviously been a lot of talk about who the Bombers are losing this period with Saad and Danaher and Fantasia potentially on the way out and whatnot. But if you're looking at the ins, to get a guy of that quality back the other way would have to really please Bombers fans if and when they can actually secure that deal, because he's a genuine jet. Thrown in the ruck a few times because of what we were talking about before, that there wasn't the support for English necessarily, and clearly that obviously looks like it frustrated him, but he's a very, very good player, and I think that would help mitigate some of the losses that Essendon have suffered.
Yeah, I think I saw some stats from Champion Data talking about percentage and where he's played on the ground, and Dunkley played about 40% in the forward line this year, about 40% in the midfield, and about 15% in the ruck, which is crazy. But, yeah, for those super coaches out there, he should be a forward mid next year, which is a pretty juicy proposition. You mentioned Fantasia there. What's going on there? Is there any chance that he could end up back at Essendon? Because it doesn't seem like Port and the Bombers are really any closer to coming up with an agreement there.
Well, look, there was a bit of this last year, a bit of the dancing before the deal was done. But I guess this time last year what happened was Fantasia seemed to indicate that he was keen to come to Port, and it never really actually eventuated. He never came out and publicly said that he wanted to do that, and then ends up staying with the Bombers. Obviously has injury issues this year, which he has seemed to have had quite a bit at Essendon. But this time around, it's a little bit more well known that he wants to come across, but the Bombers are obviously not too happy with Port, of what Port's trying to dish up, which I think is they've got the pick in the 20s, 26 or thereabouts. And I think what it seems like how it's playing out is that suddenly that pick is now being offered or in discussions with Sydney for Alia. And what that potentially means with the Fantasia thing, who knows as to whether if they can get Alia with that pick and Essendon continues to play hardball, does that mean Fantasia doesn't come at all, or does Port have to offer something else? Not 100% sure, but it looks like it's going to go down to the wire again, and Port fans will be feeling a bit of deja vu because it felt like Fantasia was going to be at the club this year, and it certainly felt like he was going to be at the club next year, but as of yet, it's still up in the air.
Who's sort of got the whip hand in the bargaining there? I mean, how badly do Port need Fantasia? They obviously about a kick off making the grand final, so any little addition is helpful, but they are fairly well stocked in that sort of half forward area.
I think Port's thinking is probably the right thinking, that Fantasia would be a great addition for them, but at the right price. It's not a case of trying to do whatever it can to get a player that at his best is great. He's had his injuries concerns. He is a South Australian, Nord boy, but I don't think they would just give up anything to get him, or what's considered, I guess, overly reasonable. I think, as you mentioned, they do have some players in that mold. Maybe not, maybe offer something a little bit that allows them to. I think their thinking is that it allows them to put Butters, Rosie, some of those guys a little bit more through the midfield if Fantasia's there. They've obviously got Farrell as well. Boyd Woodcock played some games. So small forward's not an area that they're, they've got of holes in. I think it's more just to try and shift players up the ground, some of those young stars from a couple of years ago's draft, Rosie and Butters in particular.
Alia seems like maybe more of a need in terms of key defence, where they were perhaps a little bit short.
I think he's certainly not super tall, but I guess he's someone that could be eyed a little bit maybe for the Justin Westhoff type role, maybe more so defence than what Westhoff played, but he has been used as a swing man. Westhoff has retired, obviously, after a fantastic career at Port, and suddenly Alia offers the flexibility to play a bit of defence, a bit of ruck, can maybe float forward if he had to. I think, he offers a little bit more size, maybe more as an intercept option than a true lockdown. But that was one area that Port was a little bit, particularly I think Tomahawk kick six when they got belted by Geelong. Lynch obviously always provides an issue. I think Eric Hipwood, apart from his inaccuracy, also tore them up earlier in the year when they lost at the Gabba. So that was an area that they're looking to bolster in some way, shape or form. He's not a true lockdown, a big key defender as such, but he will help in that department if they can get him. And there was actually one of the TV news networks over here showed him flying out of Adelaide today, and he completed a medical over here yesterday. So, yeah, it's certainly getting warm, that move, in terms of close close to happening or looking like it's progressing. As for what that happens and what that means to the Fantasia deal, I guess that's a wait and see.
Yeah, that would be interesting. All right, we might wrap it up. Just there's a last question here about the Dunkley deal, which you might be able to help us with. Are you across how this all works with the points for draft picks and bids, and obviously the Bulldogs will get Jamari Ugle-Hagan this year, who's likely to, you know, possibly be at pick one. Would Adelaide bid on him and then force the Bulldogs to match that? But then, so it's all these draft points, which we're sort of talking a bit about with the Crows earlier, and the fact that the Dogs, they don't necessarily want to get a high draft pick in return for Dunkley, because, you know, they need, you know, they're going to lose it anyway when that bid comes for Ugle-Hagan. So it's just another layer that makes these deals even more complicated.
Exactly. I was just about to use that word. It complicates it. It absolutely complicates it, because you've got a team that, a player that is worth high draft picks, but not a club that doesn't really want those high picks this year, because it gets swallowed up in a potential Ugle-Hagan situation. I'm not sure Adelaide will make a bid on him at pick one. I think it's one of those ones. Adelaide has a history of bidding for draft prospects. I think they bid on Taron Thomas, and there was a GWS player, and can't remember who that was, but they've certainly had a history of doing that over the years. But there is also that prestige, I guess, of going number one. You've got the number one pick, making that your player. So I don't think that the bid will come from Adelaide necessarily, but it would have come early doors, obviously, for Ugle-Hagan, and then some of those, or their highest picks, would get swallowed up. So there's no point necessarily in the Bulldogs getting in early selections. That's why maybe future picks into next year's draft would probably be a more likely proposition. Is there a player? I'm not sure with the Dunkley one, but yeah, it's one of those ones that ordinarily you'd think high picks, particularly Essendon's got some and going to get more in terms of the Saad situation, but how it ends up getting resolved, they're not going to really want that, the Bulldogs, so maybe future picks.
And any last word on who the Crows are looking at with that number one pick?
Yeah, I think it's a I'm doing a story actually for this week, so I probably can't show all my cards, but I think it's got to be a I reported a month ago that it was probably a three-horse race between Riley Philthorpe, the West Adelaide key forward slash ruck, got Tom Lynch-like sort of physical attributes, Richmond Tom Lynch, by the way, not Adelaide Tom Lynch, and Logan McDonald, the West Australian key forward who kicked a bag of goals in the Waffle playing seniors, Elijah Hollands, the Victorian mid, was the third one in the mix, and he's coming off an ACL, and I think when Adelaide looked like it might get, was at least certainly we didn't know what they'd get for Brad Crouch's compensation. I think Hollands was more in the mix because Adelaide could get two for the price of one if they got pick one and two. Now that they've only got pick one, going for someone like Hollands would have a lot more risk attached to it, given he's coming off an ACL sustained in February. So, look, I think it's probably a two-horse race at this stage, but I'll have a story later in the week that clears some of that up.
All right, fantastic. We'll keep an eye out for that for sure. Thank you, Matt. Thanks for joining us. Thanks, everybody, for
asking
the question. The clock is ticking. We've only got two and a bit more days left of trades and plenty of deals up in the air. So, as I said, get on the Herald Sun and the Advertiser and all the News Corp websites, and you'll see all the deals as they happen. And we'll be back soon with some more Trade TV.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.